Hello and welcome to our Clinical Mastery of the Digestive System case study and coaching call. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo and I'm excited to be here with you. My favorite calls of all are my calls with my practitioners. I do lots of calls and I've been doing a lot of calls in the last couple of weeks for our clients, but I really, really love to geek out with all the science and the back end stuff with practitioners. So I'm looking forward to having a fun time. We've had four cases submitted and we will go through all four of those cases. But before we get started, I just want to open up and I just want to get feedback from maybe two or three people on how the program is going for you so far. What maybe some aha things that you're learning and how you're putting that into practice. And if there's any particular areas of concern or struggle that you're having that might be beneficial to the rest of the group to hear about. I mean, if it's something like you're having trouble with downloads or things like that, that kind of stuff you can report to my team. I want to really get into the juice and the nuggets of the program in terms of the clinical stuff. And maybe if you're having challenges with putting certain things into practice or understanding the best way to use some of the procedures and some of the tools that we've given you, then I want to make sure that you pass that on to me and we can discuss it because that could be a benefit to everybody. So I'm going to look in the lines. The way that you can raise your hand is on Zoom. If you click on where it says manage participants at the bottom or see participants or something, there's a place where you can raise your hand. Also on Zoom, you can actually open up your own line. It's important that we use proper etiquette in that. It's when I invite somebody to speak. If nobody's speaking, you can open your line and say, hi, this is, and give your name and I have a question and then we can handle it. Because sometimes the hand raising doesn't work for whatever reason. Unfortunately, you can't do that we actually can do that on the phone. If you're on the phone, you can actually do that and I'll put it in Q&A mode and you can do a *7. To talk. But that's only if you've raised your hand or tried to raise your hand and I'm not seeing it for some reason. That way I could see the order that the hands come in. But if I say, hey, I don't see any hands, does anybody have questions? Then that's a good time to do that. So we don't get chaos and everybody's speaking over each other. So I do have three hands raised. I think Susan's has been up the longest. I see Susan and then I see, I think it was Favor, which I think I spoke to in a cell phone, Oregon. What I'm going to do on the Instant Health Seminar, I'm going to put all the hands down because some of those hands might have been up to say, hey, I can hear you. So I'm going to lower the hands there. And looks like Susan was hand up was because she was trying to. Okay, so now we're going to start again. So anybody would like to share something about how the program's going so far, how you're using the materials, any questions you have about how to apply that stuff to your practice, then go ahead and raise your hand. The way you do that is a *2 on the Instant Health Seminar platform, on the phone platform. And if you're on Zoom, you can actually raise it with a hand that goes up through the bottom. And I'm not seeing any hands coming up at this point. Okay. So Zoom also has a chat and we can have a conversation there. And that's a place where there's links we want to send you to, resources, etc. We can do that. So Claudia says she sees the participants but doesn't know how to raise a hand. I don't know how either. Lynn always tells me because it looks different on my end. I'm going to look for you, Claudia, and I'm going to unmute you. Now, what I need to do is, okay, there we go. I unmuted you, Claudia, and I want to make sure that the folks on the Zoom end can hear, on the Instant Health Seminar end can hear you when I open up your line. If not, then I'll have everybody that's on Zoom just type in your questions and I'll answer the questions or your comments into the chat. Okay? So Claudia, your line is open.
Hello.
Hello. Now I'm going to ask you to just, say hello and where you're from and speak. And I'm going to ask the folks on Instant Health Seminar, if you've called in on the phone and you're listening, I want to make sure that you can hear Claudia. So go ahead and do that.
Yeah, I'm Claudia. I live in New York and I'm originally from Germany, but I've been here for many, many years.
Great. You're not? Oh, interesting. You must be a little bit in over your head there. Yeah. Okay. Great. Wonderful. Thank you. Let me make sure that the folks on the phone here can hear, and they may or may not. I'm not sure. Let's see. So I'm going to open up Isabella's line. Isabel, did you hear Claudia?
Yes, loud and clear.
Loud and clear. Yay, this works. It's just technology is so crazy that I could be on two different programs and you hear each other. Thank you. Okay, so Claudia, what's your question or comment? And congratulations for doing this for yourself and being like really in the trenches here. Appreciate it.
Well, I enjoy it tremendously. I haven't had so much of a chance to do a lot of work lately. They have been drilling the concrete off my balcony, and my parents came over to visit my sister. So I've been kind of trying to just take advantage of them being here.
Yeah.
And hopefully once the construction is done, I can get back into the swing of things.
Fantastic. So just hang one second because somebody just shared their screen. Tammy Smith, please unshare your screen. When you share your screen, it completely messes me up. It completely takes over my screen and I can't do anything. And I am going to change my, there we go. I figured out how to get it to stop. I just have to hit share screen. Yeah, but please be careful not to hit the share screen until I ask you to, or unless I ask you to. Thank you. Okay, so Claudia, so questions that you have, comments, anything you want to share?
None at the moment. I'm just, you know, trying to, what I did before the conference is I went as far as I could in terms of the classes to get as much information as I could, but I didn't do some parts. I just kind of went through the information mostly. So I still have to kind of go back and, you know, do some of the assessments on myself and so on.
Great. Yeah, it really does help. And you're there to do it on yourself. So it helps you, of course, to do it on yourself. But even for the practitioners, I really recommend that you do everything on yourself first, because it gives you that really that awareness of the experience from the other end. So super. Thank you.
Yeah, and I want to take it all in. So I think I got to do all of it.
Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to ask you, and I'd love to hear from other people. This is the first group we've taken through this new platform we added to have the checklist at the end of each, you know, so you can check off where you're at with each module. Are you finding that to be helpful?
Yeah, I like it. I actually love the way that it's set up and the note-taking. I find it all very helpful. In the beginning, it was a little discombobulating because, there are different classes for different practitioners, but, you know, after a little bit, you to get the hang of it.
Super. Thank you so much. Thank you very much. I appreciate you sharing.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else before we move on to cases? And then if I'm doing your case, I'll announce your name and I'll open up your line. So I'd like to hear from you and have you be speaking when I open up your lines. Okay. So I don't see any other hands up. So what I'm going to do is open up favors. And I have that in another window. Oh, who do I have? Bernardin? There we go.
Hello?
Hello. Yes, hello. I hear you.
Hi, this is Brenda Bernardin.
Hi, Brenda.
Hi. So my question is about Candida, and I personally have been struggling with it forever, and it's been going in multiple stages. So I am a student, but I'm also practicing on myself. And I've also had bouts with SIBO, and I have Hashimoto's, so I understand the whole migrating motor complex issue and all of that good stuff. But I'm still struggling with this tail end of the candida bit. And if I eat fastidiously, which I do, and I don't eat any fruit, no sugar, I tend to stave it off. But if I have a blueberry or a little bite of a banana, it just comes back raging. So I'm not sure what I'm missing, and I'm still taking anti-candida herbs and all of that. So
yeah, so it's basically it's becoming latent when you're not feeding it. The symptoms don't flare, but it's still there,
right?
And it's not going away completely, right? Because you should be able to eat a blueberry here and there. I mean, I don't expect you to be able to eat Ben and Jerry's, but you should be able to eat a blueberry. Okay, so and then the symptoms that you see when it comes back, do you get skin breakouts or what happens?
Skin rashes. And then I just feel that difference of the vaginal pH. The secretions, and it gets very itchy and raw, and it just feels like the pH is off and the discharge is different.
Okay. Yeah. So there is, so it's not just gut candida in the gut. It's gut, it's candida vaginally. So you may be staving it off by not feeding it. So have you done anything to treat, you know, to look at the vaginal flora, like doing suppositories, probiotic type suppositories?
I have, what is it? Yeast Arrest, the homeopathic suppositories. But it's a combination. I think it has some probiotics and some herbs and tea tree and homeopathics, and they're okay, but it doesn't really do the
Doesn't
trick.
Do the trick. Okay. And then did you do the, my brain just went dead on the word I'm looking for, the biofilm disruptors?
Yes, I have done different phases of those too.
Okay.
Yes.
And have you done any, a stool test?
It's been a while.
Okay.
And that's actually a great question. So which one is the best to really look at my whole oral balance? And
that's what I want you to do. Because here's the thing. Sometimes the candida just keeps living. Number one, if there's heavy metals. So candida, if you don't address heavy metals, candida cannot be gotten rid of. But number two, if there's a parasite. And any kind of parasite, you can't get rid of it, you know, and for people try that and try that, we looked, found they had blastocystis. So if there's a parasite there, it's not going to really take, get rid of it. So I would say your next step is going to be a stool test because, you know, a lot of times people can do really well by just applying the protocols. And obviously if they're really super strict like you, which a lot of them aren't, you should be able to see a result if there's not something else. So I would be suspicious of heavy metals, and I would be suspicious of the parasite, or it could be H. pylori even. So do you have any burning or any kind of upper GI symptoms?
You know, the last 2 days I was down in bed with a gut bug, and I have had that. I don't know what hit me. I've been implementing juicing, celery juicing, and it sends me right to the bathroom with diarrhea every time.
And this is what kind of juice? Obviously, you're not going to be doing fruit juice. You're doing green juice.
Right? No, pure celery with a bit of maybe dandelion, ginger, lemon, just pure green, maybe some cucumber.
And that sends you to the bathroom with diarrhea?
Yep.
Yeah.
Every time.
So
I don't know if that's cleansing or if that's
No, it shouldn't be cleansing.
Know.
No, I don't think so. No. Not at all. I think that there's probably something going on up there. So the test, I would actually do two tests if I were you. I would do the BioHealth, and you can do the whole BioHealth panel with H. pylori. You want to do it with the H. pylori, or you could just do the H. pylori and then do the doctor's data. It depends on your budget. To do the BioHealth 401H would be, you know, whatever, a couple hundred, $300. I'm not sure the exact. But the other one I'd want you to do with that would be the doctor's data, because the doctor's data goes into also the pH of the gut, the pancreatic elastase, the inflammatory markers, and they'll do a culture if they find a parasite or a yeast to see what particular antimicrobials are going to be good in your particular case. And what happens over time, especially with people who've been addressing it for a long time, they end up developing resistance. And you may be doing a whole bunch of herbs that you've already developed resistance to. The other thing I recommend is the 5-day rotations. So whatever herbs end up being the ones you're going to do, you do them on 5-day rotations, because you don't want the critters to get really smart. And then, you know, you develop a resistance to everything. That's why, you know, for a lot of folks, if it's been persistent, hard to get rid of, I'm not a fan of using the combination formulas, because now you've got five herbs that they can get resistant to all at once. And if all five of them become, you know, useless, it's going to make it really hard. So that's what I would do next. So the 401H, or just the whatever the number is, the H, just the H. It's nice to get both just because you see a wider variety of organisms. And then the doctor's data, it's the comprehensive with parasitology times 3.
Okay. And you like that better than Genova?
Much better than Genova. I did Genova for years. And everybody was coming back with saying, oh, there's a yeast, but we don't know what it is. Oh, there's a parasite, but we don't know what it is. And I'm like, what do you mean you don't know what it is? How am I going to, you know what I mean? I specifically okay. paid the extra money for that test to get the sensitivities where they test them against the particular herbs, and they couldn't do it because they didn't know what it was. And I'm like, So I stopped doing it. Maybe they're better now. But I thought they were great, and I did it for a couple of years. I'm like, no, I'm not doing this anymore. And I have loved the doctor's data.
Okay, perfect. And can I look at that under the resources? I do have an account with BioHealth, but I don't have one with Doctor's Data.
Yeah, doctors. That's the problem with Doctor's Data. They won't let us set up accounts for our students. So you have to be a licensed doctor or nurse practitioner. So yeah, you can order it under our page. Go to the lab testing page, and it should be there. It's the very first one under the Doctor's Data section.
Awesome. Perfect. Thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for asking.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Okay, so I'm going to pull up the cases, and I'm going to share them in my screen. So if you want to see them, you'll need to move to, let me just clear my screen so I have a place to share. I have all these windows open. And then we've got the first one that I'm going to do is Favors. What happened here? Okay, here we go. Favor Soul. And hopefully I'm saying your name right. I hate it when people botch up people's names, and I don't always know how to do that. Okay, so what you did was your entry. Okay, so the first thing I'm going to open is this entry. We're going to look do a quick look at what the person who she's submitting to, and maybe it's her too. Okay, so I'm going to open that up, and then I'm going to share my screen with you. Oops. All right. So this, and now if I go to share screen, it's going to ask me which screen I want to share, and I'm going to share this one. And then I want you guys to let me know if you see it. Yes? Okay. Thanks, Elaine. All right. So we have Favor. And Favor, I'm going to open up your line. So let me move this over a bit. Yours was the funny with the funny note, right? It had just, let me see. Let me open you. Favor, is that you?
Yes, I don't know how to open the screen.
Well, you have to go back to the email that we sent you, and you have to click the link that says share screen. But if you have your pages in front of you, it doesn't matter.
Yeah, I have pages in front of me.
That's fine. Okay. So basically, we always have this, I give permission at the top, and especially if you're sharing somebody else's. Is this your own case, Favor? Yes, it is. I see it. Okay. So if it's not your own case, then you got to get permission from your client to be sharing this, because you see their names and everything's up here. Or what you need to do is just put their initials in. So you put your name in, then when you put the person's name, you keep it generic. And I think this does keep it generic, so that's fine. Okay. But you got to give, we give permission, and you did. Thank you.
Yeah, I can see the screen now.
You can see the screen now.
I can see now. Yeah.
Great. And you're going to have to help me with this. I 155 centimeters and 47 kilograms. It sounds like you're just about the right weight. Are you underweight, overweight, or the right weight?
I'm just 1 kilo underweight.
Under. The 1 kilo don't matter. That's okay. Close enough. She's a holistic therapist. She's married and has been having problems with bowel pain in the lower abdomen. Oh, yes, right. We talked about this last week. With the digestion, you've had constipation, you've tried a whole bunch of things, you're still having this pain no matter what. And we talked about possibly it being ovarian and doing some ultrasounds, which you had done. Okay, so let's see. Severe gas burning occasionally. I'm going to read through this. To get everybody up to speed, the pain started with what she calls an internal itching in the left lower abdomen in 2005. She's seen gastroenterologists. She did colonoscopies. Everything seems healthy. Did cleaning, but the patient, the problems persist. Saw Chinese medicine in 2006. several sessions, no improvement. 2008, the pain began on the right side, but not as bad. This time the doctor did an ultrasound of the upper and lower abdomen. With a blood test, everything was normal. 2019, pain in the left side became worse, and then did another colonoscopy, and they found two little pockets. Did not mention which part of the bowel, and that those would be diverticuli. And if they didn't say you had diverticulitis, they just saw the pouchings, but they were not inflamed. 2010 and 13 came and went, and it left until 2013. And she left it until 2013, went to another doctor complaining about the pain. This time was referred to a gynecologist, thought it might be fallopian tube, which is what I had thought when you were describing it. Checked everything, nothing bad. Did a heavy metal test and had amalgams removed in 2013. And 2015 did a food intolerance test and organic acid test. And this is uploaded, so we could take a look at that. By then, completely removing foods, and I understand from last time that you were very, very, you're very restrictive in what you're eating right now.
Yes, I am.
And very constipated. And the constipation has gotten worse recently?
Yes, it's gotten worse. I am taking, I just tried the TV flu. I blend TV flu with ginger and add some vitamin C. Buffer vitamin C and it helps me to move, but not really, really good though, not in a way that I used to move a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does improve a bit, but.
Yeah, but you're having to do big stuff.
I get a lot of gas, still getting a lot of gas. The SIBO testing show I have SIBO, but I wonder why. Today I had salad and a little bit of, I think about 20 grams of fish.
Yeah.
Like mackerel, and I get a lot of gas, and but it feels like something is like stuck in my throat, and when I press it, it's the gas coming out. This is what I'm getting now. It's really irritating me. And Monday, I went to see the gastroenterology last Monday, and because this test was done in the hospital, and they found I got polycystic liver disease. Which I get the pain occasionally.
Wait, they found polycystic, tell me that again, the polycystic liver disease?
Yes, they just found that I got polycystic liver disease, and I got a letter from my gastroenterology today that they invited back to my GP, and they said they're going to see me with another ultrasound and to keep an eye on my liver, and that's all. I got the letter, and then they... In this letter, I don't quite understand. This is a medical term.
Did you upload that, or do you have that there that you can read to me?
Pardon?
That letter that you just talked about the liver, do you have that? Did you upload that?
Yes, I have it in front of me. Do you want me to read it to you?
Yeah, it would be easier if you could email it to me, and then I can, because I'll look at these other things and then look at that.
Okay, I will email. NANCA-positive. I don't know what is the polynuclear pattern.
Okay, yeah, it's hard. It's hard for me to get because with your pronunciations and with big medical words, I have to see it. So why don't you email it to Lynn, and Lynn will put it in this folder for me. Lynn, can you do that?
Okay.
Just email it to Lynn. Coach Lynn.
I can email it tomorrow morning. Yeah, I can email it to you. Yeah.
Can you email it to me now?
Oh, now.
Yes. Email it to me now so that while I look at your other tests, Lynn can upload that.
I need to scan in before I can email you.
Okay. So how big is this letter?
Oh, it's very small section, you know, a lot.
Okay, so try to read it, but read it slowly so I can get the words. Okay.
Okay, maybe my husband, I can get my husband to read to you because his English may be better than me.
Oh, yeah. Oh, or do you have a cell phone that you could take a photograph of it and send me the photograph?
Oh, photograph. Okay.
Okay. And I'm going to open up some of your other tests.
Okay.
Okay, so this is a complicated case, and you may get people like this where they've been trying everything and nobody's been able to help them. It's rare. It's not going to be the common ones. This is her SIBO test, and her SIBO test comes out pretty normal. I'm not a big fan of the SIBO test, just because I don't think they're always accurate, just because if people are avoiding certain, you know, foods that she's already restricted her diet, she may not be getting the response. But the other thing is a lot of the times they make you eat this really bad diet for a few days, and it actually can aggravate people. So I don't do them that often. I usually go by symptoms, but this is good to have it ruled out, so to speak. You know, look at her older organic. Okay, somebody just stole my screen. Okay, there we go. Organic acids test. An organic acids test. You guys have a bonus coming real soon. We're setting it up now. We're going to actually learn how to interpret the organic acid test from a standpoint of the... Yes.
I don't have a linked email address. Can you? Yeah. Because right now I'm on the phone, so
if you just
I need to write it down.
Sure. Yeah. If you just send it to ine@drritamarie.com, she'll get it.
Okay.
Ine. That's the easiest one. Okay. And Lynn, will you be able to get that email?
Ine@
drritamarie.com. Okay. So this test was done a little over a year ago. You should be seeing it on the screen. It's not a terrible one. I've seen them way worse than this. So I've seen them with a lot of markers. You have a yeast and fungal marker, one of them. You have a bacterial marker, and you do have one that could be indicative of Clostridia. So there are some things going on here. I'm going to ask you in a few minutes after I look at these tests what herbs and things you've actually taken, and what might help to try. But so there is a little bit of dysbiosis going on here, but it's not terrible, and it wasn't as of a year ago. Did you apply any therapeutics after having this? Did anybody say, you know, to go on the anti? Is that when you went on an anti-yeast protocol?
Yes, I did use a biocidin for 3 months. And I also use oregano, I use berberine, I use Chinese coptis, and coptis and gentian.
Okay. So use some antimicrobials. And then you didn't redo the organic acid test to see if it was improved?
No, I didn't do it. So because right now I do the stool test, and in the stool test show a lot of
That's good. So these two together. So the thing is, the organic acid test, and we're not going to go into a lot of detail on this because I've given you a bonus on that, and it'll take an hour or two to do that. But basically, this test we use as a screening and say, wow, there's a lot of bacterial markers. There's some yeast markers. So this is something that has to show. And then you can just apply some general therapeutics to these and see if the person improves. And then also you redo the test and those markers go away. Then you don't have to actually do the stool test, which people don't like doing stool tests just because they're a pain to do, whereas it's easy to do a urine test. So that's what I would look at. She did that, but she didn't go back and test it again, but her symptoms didn't improve, so she didn't bother testing it again. So we're going to look at her stool test to see. And there's a lot more to the oat test.
Can I say something? I think I have more yeast. I think the yeast is causing me the itching inside my stomach.
Could be.
Because every time, just now the lady, Claudia, was saying, bite a banana, then I can feel more itching inside stomach. So I guess it must be the yeast. And it's very strange. If I eat anything, a little bit of yeast, and I'll get the itch very, very badly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So did you give us a list of all the supplements? Are they on there on that form? I have to go back to it.
Yes,
okay, I'll go back to it on here.
About 20, 30 different things I'm taking. My God, it's just like...
Oh, I guess so. Yeah. You're just throwing everything at it. So let's see. So some current supplements... omega, fish oils, vitamin A, vitamin D, zinc, B complex, alpha lipoic acid, NAC, liver support, digestive, HCL, probiotics, D lactate free, Trafala, so D-lactate free because she suspected SIBO, so you go D-lactate free. Trafala for constipation, Scram, Motopro. Oh my God, you're taking pretty much everything that we would want you to take. What I don't see is the specifics of the antimicrobial. Oh, Alamed, Berberine. Yeah, you do a lot. Okay, so let's look to see at her GI effects.
I'm also taking colostrum as well.
Colostrum, and you're taking, you said, bone broth as well to try to rebuild. So we're going to look at her GI effects. And I like the GIFX is similar to the doctor's data. I just personally like, and I'm more used to reading the doctor's data, and I just find it, I found it to be more accurate. Maybe GIFX is better now, but it's been about 2 years since I've used it, except for when people submit them for cases. So there's a high protein breakdown products. So, you know, that indicates poor digestion of proteins.
Yeah, I personally think there's poor pancreatic enzymes in my pancreas. That's why I thought that protein didn't break down very.
No, the pancreatic elastase looks okay. It could be stomach acid, right, that you're not getting them down because you're producing enough pancreatic enzymes, but we can't measure stomach acid here because the fats are low. Too, the total fecal fats are low. I don't like it when the total fecal fats are too high.
What does that mean?
Well, you probably don't eat a very high fat diet. And
no.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It might be that you're just not, you don't have a lot of them in there. Triglycerides, long chain. So all the rest of this are okay. Calprotectin is very low. So there's no inflammation there. There is no indication that there's Crohn's or ulcerative colitis going on here because this calprotectin is low. The eosinophil protein is low. But the thing that is very high or borderline high is this the fecal IgA. So it says that there is some activity with the immune system going on. It's not over the top, but there is definitely some activity going on where the immune system lining of the gut, the IgAs, that secretory IgAs, are actually working hard. There's something for them to work against.
So is there something I can do to improve this?
Yes, yes. We'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Let me just see what the whole picture is. So I'm seeing the short chain fatty acids are good. The butyrate concentration is good. Although the percentage of butyrate is low and the percentage of acetate is higher. And that I'd have to go digging to see what to do to shift that percentage other than taking butyrate. I mean, you could just take butyrate and see.
I don't know how to keep that one. I was going to ask you this question as well.
And then upping your bifidus because the bifidus will help you to make more. So you're taking the D-lactic acid free, but you may also have to take a separate bifidus. That's what I would look at because the bifidus actually supports the growth of these fatty acids.
And so I am now doing the fermented food and the kefir. So I already fermented 2 batches. So I start drinking the kefir now, coconut water kefir. And it seems like giving me a lot of gas.
It could. I mean, it depends how you've fermented it. If you've got some wild cultures, and does there still some sugar left in it? Is it a culture?
I'm using Donagate culture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and some of these things you're telling me, like you said, it kind of suggests SIBO, right? Because when you do that, you're not getting just D-lactic acid-free bacteria in them. You're going to be getting some that produce lactic acid, and that fact that gives you.
Yeah, because I see the SIBO result is normal, so I thought maybe I can try this. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't at this point. What I would do instead is with your vegetables, you can actually add some bifidus to them and then let them ferment a little bit longer to increase the concentration of bifidus.
You mean using the D-lactic acid bifidus?
Well, there's the D-lactic free combo that Custom Probiotics makes, but there's also the bifidus. There's separate bifidus. And you can get that from Custom Probiotics or you can get it from Claire Labs. And there's probably a number of companies on Seeking Health. They all have a bifidus. And I get it in a powdered form. That way you can use it in making your probiotics. Right. And then when you make probiotic foods, you can actually do it, you can actually control the outcome of and how much is in there.
Okay. I'll get some of that one. Not the bifidus, yeah.
Well, no, those are good too, but I think you need more bifidus. And we'll see. I think they do a thing. Based on what I'm seeing here, functionally, you probably need more bifidus. It's a possibility that you have one of the FUT2, which means you don't secrete your blood type into your mucous membranes, which is going to affect the colonization. So that's a possibility too. And it just means you need a lot more bifidus.
Okay.
And things that support it. And I'm going to ask you about your diet in a minute. I know that you have trouble with some of the raw vegetables, right? The salads and stuff cause you gas and bloating. Okay. And what's your typical composition of your meals? What do you typically eat?
Okay. I hardly eat grain. I steam my vegetables and I grill fish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I eat.
So mostly you're eating fish and vegetables. You're not eating much in the way of grains. And you are gluten-free. You told me that the last time, right? 100%.
Yes, I'm gluten-free, dairy-free, soya-free, and everything-free, 100%.
Okay, good. Yeah, and so you're eating like a paleo-type diet with fish and vegetables.
Yeah, and sometimes I do chicken broth. And now I spoke to Lynn on the chat and the Facebook. She told me to... not in the meantime, in this time, not to pick any bone broth. They asked me to use veggie broth, so now I stopped the bone broth now.
Yeah, this is the big concern with the bone broth, and you know, some people do really well with it, but if we don't know what your heavy metal status is, you could end up with an increase in lead if you do a lot of it. You know, and I think there's probably moderation that would be okay, but there's a possibility that there's heavy metal issue, and the heavy metal is causing the yeast problem not to be able to get resolved.
I have done the heavy metal detoxification.
Right, but here's the thing. You might have done a detoxification, but did you do a test after? That's the thing you guys have to remember as practitioners.
Oh, yes. Yeah. I did the test.
Okay. After you did the detox.
Yes.
Okay. And it showed you were clear?
It shows that it goes to the minimum.
What test did you do for heavy metals? So that's another whole week. You know, we have a whole module.
I was using the
Vega
machine by the homeopath in Malaysia.
No, I don't mean that. I mean, not what you were doing, but what was the test? How did you test it? Was it a stool test, a hair test, a blood test, a urine test?
Oh, it was a hair test, hair analysis.
Okay. And so the lead, there was no indication of high lead?
No.
And mercury, nothing?
No mercury.
Okay. So let me just talk. I'll just talk really.
Palladium inside.
Palladium?
Palladium inside. Yeah.
Did you look for the source of that? That could affect it. Did you look to see where the palladium might be coming from in your life? What kind of exposure?
Yeah, I do wear a bracelet now. I removed the bracelet from my hand. So okay. I think it's come from that one. So I don't wear anything like that now.
Okay. All right. So yeah, so as far as it's mineral testing, we don't have time to go into the depth of mineral testing. We have a module on that in our NEPT program. And one of our students there is like, that's his expertise. And he was really cautioning us about the testing that some of the labs actually will rinse the hair in some kind of solution where it's not going to be as accurate, and he had some recommendations. So Lynn has the name of the lab that he uses. She could put it in the chat for redoing it, and the same with anybody else that's suspicious that you have it. It might be worthwhile to check it. And even just to compare, my goal is to do it on myself and compare that lab with doctor's data, which I normally would have done it through, just to see if there was a difference.
Which one from Dr. Data?
Well, Doctor's Data has the hair test, but I'm saying Lynn has the name of it. Let me see if she put it in the chat. The one that Jamie likes. I can never remember the name of it. Let's see.
Yeah, I can see into something there. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you might want to redo that as well, just to make sure. But let's just see what else is here. So we've got some indication of the short chain fatty acids are out of balance, low butyrate. You can address it by taking butyrate as a temporary solution, but the long term solution will be to get your bifidus in balance.
Okay, I was thinking to use the ghee because I'm very sensitive, so I dare not use the ghee. What do you think?
Well, you don't have to. I think you can get a butyrate that's not from dairy. Where from? From beet, you said?
I'm not sure.
Okay, let me mark that down and look. I believe that there are some butyrates that are not derived from butter, and that they wouldn't have any other indications in there, because I hear you on that one. So this is her bacteria, very, very high in bacterioides, very, very high in bacterioides. Okay. And Oclinobacter. Let's see, her Firmicutes, Clostridium, which is consistent with your oat test that said there was an indication of Clostridium. So there's a bunch of different bacteria here that are high.
Yeah, I look at it, I'm just confused. I don't understand why.
Yeah, there's a lot of bacterial overgrowth here. Okay, so let's just see. And Enterobacter, and those are tough ones. Okay, so let's see. No over parasites, no Cryptosporidium. So none of the really nasty ones there. Where's the yeast ones? No fecal
calculi. Yeah, got two different kinds of species, not Candida albicans.
Okay, so this is your sensitivity. Okay, mycology sensitivity. So the rotavirus is resistant. Low inhibition. Wow. These were not useful at all. Is that what they're saying here? They're all resistant. You've got some resistant strains of bacteria, yeasts. You've probably become that way from having taken so much to try to get rid of it, which says to me that there's no parasites showing up. So heavy metals is a good indication. Wow. That's not good. So let's see the bacteria. The bacteria, even with the even the antibiotics, are mostly resistant.
You mean that these bacteria are resistant to those they marker in the red square?
Well, it's interesting because, see, that's why I don't like this test. It's not as clear to read. Low inhibition. So it shows low inhibition. But usually they mark it for each of these on a scale, like berberine, each of these, and they don't mark it. So this is worth a chat with the lab, because I haven't done this lab as much since they have their new format, but it used to be really clear, and they'd mark it like low inhibition. But they're not marking berberine oregano in any of the naturals at all.
I think it's on the other page.
No. No, it just says low inhibition over there, but then it doesn't mark it. Under his low inhibition, high inhibition, and usually you'd see a scale where the berberine, oregano, plant tannins, Yuba ursi would be marked.
Is there is with the scale? Is there garlic and Yuba ursi natural agent?
What page? Yeah.
I think the color didn't show.
The colors didn't show. Okay, so that's why.
It's a very light color. Yeah.
Okay, so which one?
The highest one is garlic.
Okay.
And
okay. Okay. So here's what you want to do. You want to see, start with the highest. I can't tell because we can't see it. We're just seeing blank on it.
So it was. Nystatin.
Say it again.
Nystatin.
Okay.
Yeah, this is the highest one.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've taken garlic before, haven't you? Or have you taken garlic or Yuba ursi before?
No, I never did Yuba ursi before. I did garlic before.
Mm-hmm. But you haven't taken it recently? So Yuba ursi, what about the others? What about the undecylenic acid? Is that high or is that low?
I took the B12 before from Soul Research. Last year, when I found an organic acid test, so I took that one, but I don't think that it's working.
Okay, so tell me where it shows on here, because like I said, I don't see your numbers. So where does berberine fall, high or low? Medium, what?
Berberine is medium.
Medium. Caprylic acid?
Caprylic acid is very low.
Okay. Garlic is high, you said. Undecylic
garlic
acid?
High. Medium as berberine.
Okay. And then the plant tannins?
Same as berberine. And
okay. So you've got three that are medium and two that are high.
Yeah. About a C high.
Okay. And then what about on the bacteria? Same thing? You have berberine, oregano, plant tannins?
Bacteria A, garlic, and
undecylenic acid. undecylenic acid. It's from castor oil. Undecylenic acid. Yes. Yeah.
And well, these three are the high. And berberine is medium, and caprylic acid is low, and plant tannin is same as berberine.
Okay, you on the bacterial sensitivity page?
Yes.
Because I don't see those listed. Right here on the bacterial page, I only see berberine, oregano, plant tannins, and uva ursi.
Yeah.
It's page 9.
Yeah.
Page 9, right?
Page 9.
So here's what you need to do to approach this is to pick the list of the ones that are going to be useful, preferably the ones for both, like uva ursi. Was that good for the bacteria as well?
I never tried this before. Yeah, it's good for bacteria, for antifungals as well.
Right. Is it listed as high for both?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So that would be one for you to try. But you don't want to ever try anything for consistently. So you want to go 5 days in a row. So you can go 5 days of uva ursi, then 5 days of garlic, and 5 days of berberine, and 5 days of undecylenic acid, and then go back and just keep rotating that. Okay, and that's going to address that. But the reason, the question is, why is it so resistant and what's going on there? Like, what's feeding it? So looking at the bifidus. See, this doesn't give us your normal flora. So that's why, again, I don't really care for this report as much. Looking back.
Yeah.
Anyway, I like doctor's data, so anybody wants to get their test done, just my preference. I like it, think it's a better report. It works better, but that's just my opinion. And H. pylori was negative, okay.
I'm doing the blood test, doing the H. pylori with my doctor. I haven't got the result yet.
All right, so this is a way to start here. You might consider, if this doesn't do it, to get nystatin and try that. It is a pharmaceutical. You would have to have somebody who prescribed it, but I would try the ones you haven't tried. But then, did you send me that paper? Did you send it to Lynn?
Yeah.
Lynn,
yeah.
Did you get
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
Lynn, if you can upload it, it's not here yet. So Lynn, if you can just upload it to Skype, that'd be great.
My PT won't prescribe me the 9:30 because you see, all this private lab is not under her area.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I would start with this, but then find somebody, if it doesn't work, to try the nystatin. But again, these are just, we want to get to why. What's causing this imbalance? And is it these organisms that's causing your pain? You know, I'm not 100% convinced. That's why I want to see the piece of paper. So you sent it. Lynn?
Yeah, I sent it.
Okay, she shared a photo. Let's see.
Because I personally know, because I learned Chinese medicine before years ago when I was in Malaysia, and I know inflammation can trigger the pain. That's why I'm on the Coptis.
Yep.
And while I'm drinking Coptis, boiling the Coptis and drinking the solution, and it seems that the pain did die now a bit, and not the eating though.
Okay, so there's one antibody positive, and the rest of the autoantibodies are negative. There's no indications of any kind of hepatitis, antitrypsin, normal immunoglobulins, normal ferritin. She travels to Portsmouth, doing the findings of her imaging, explaining her polycystic. She's more concerned regarding her constipation. She had coffee enemas. She is on Ayurvedic therapy. I've assured her in the clinic. She is going to email me. I'm rechecking her bloods today and arranging an ultrasound. Okay, so they're going to look further on this liver thing. So you've got some multiple cysts. They're presuming genetic. So whether or not that's applicable, but supporting your liver is super important as well as everything else. So I think, let me just look to see if there are any other findings in there. That's where I would go with this now. And then let us know when you get your ultrasound back and any other blood tests that they do. Let's see. Let me just look at your thyroid test.
Yes.
Okay, it should be coming in. You did it through Genova, eh? So total T4, these numbers are completely different than the ranges that we look at on a normal blood test. TSH is there, but total T4, we usually have a number from, there's this 58 to 161. That's weird. So it must be a point. So I'm going to assume it's L. Free thyroid is, yeah, so they're off by a factor of 10. Normally on the blood tests that we get from Quest and LabCorp, the thyroid range is like 6 to 12. And this is showing 58. So I'm going to assume that this 84 is 8.4. So that's normal. TSH is there. And this is on the lower end. It's a PMOL. Yeah. All right. I don't know how to correct that. Let's see. Free T3. 4.2. I don't see any issues with your thyroid, quite frankly. A little bit of antibodies, TPO antibodies, actually. So there is some antibody there. So anything you're doing for anti-inflammation is going to help. But you don't have a terrible thyroid pattern that would create constipation. Like, I wouldn't look at this and say, oh, yeah, no wonder you're constipated.
I feel cold and tan for some time, and like my hair is falling out a lot, and my skin is
dry. So here's what I'm going to say: is that secretory IgA? It's related to stress too. So okay. I know we talked about that last time.
Going through a very high stress.
Very high stress level.
15 years because my family is still.
So that's where I would focus some attention right now too, is learning, you know, the methods. Go study the HeartMath methods and start to apply it. Get yourself a HeartMath monitor, one of those. If you have an iPhone, you can get something called the Inner Balance that attaches to it. Otherwise, you can get an independent device called the EM Wave, and it'll measure your heart rate variability, and you need to use that as a biofeedback device because your thyroid numbers look normal. Except for slightly elevated TPO, but they look normal, and you probably have some receptor resistance, which is a lot of times caused by stress. So that's where I would be looking at this point, and then let's see what the other. You of course address the gut stuff, the bifidus and the organisms, and don't ever take probiotics along with antimicrobial herbs because they'll kill. It'll kill your probiotics.
Okay. I take the probiotics in the evening before I go to bed. I don't take it together when I'm taking the herb.
I just wanted to make sure. I figured you knew that. Okay, so I'm going to move on to the next case, but thank you for submitting this. And good luck. And what I would do, this is organic acid test was taken in recently. This GI test was taken recently. So I would go ahead and get started on that right away. Okay, and don't keep taking the other anything that shows up here that they're resistant to, don't keep taking it.
Okay,
because it's going to make the situation worse. Okay?
Okay, so great. Should I rotate it or I stop it completely?
If you're taking some stuff already and you're on high doses, I would taper it off and then stop it because it's not going to do you any good if it's got herbs in it that are not serving you, that your body's resistant to. Okay?
Okay, I'll stop it completely. Then I try the new one.
Okie dokie. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Okay, Jenny.
Bye.
All right. Let me see. I'm opening up Jenny's, and Jenny's report is here. So you guys should be able to see Jenny's. Let's see. And Jenny, is your line open?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yeah. Hi. Let me close Saver's line. I hear you.
Oh my God, this is my first time. So,
are you a little overwhelmed here?
I am with the technologies and all of that.
Yeah. It, you know, you get used to it after a while.
Yeah.
And there's a lot. There's so much to learn. Why is that thing there? All right. Let me open this. Okay. Entry. Where did it go? Oh, I see. It's back here. I'm getting overwhelmed with my technology because I have so many windows open right now. Okay. So is this you or this is a male? So this is a financial
assessor? This is actually my husband.
Okay. Okay, good. He's a skinny guy, right? 5'11".
He is. Seven. He's very skinny.
Yeah, yes. Married. You guys have 2 children.
Right.
Okay. He's got histamine intolerance. Oh, yeah. So you've diagnosed that how? By the foods that he gets problem with? He breaks out in a rash. How does that manifest?
Yes. About a year ago, last December, he started having hives and headaches, intense esophagus pain, and some congestion in the lungs every time after he ate. So we were freaking out and we started doing research by ourselves and we figured out, oh, it's probably histamine issue. And then we started seeing a naturopath doctor in town. She actually ordered the breath test and she diagnosed him of SIBO.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of this just because he's a longtime sufferer of autoimmune disorder.
Has he been diagnosed with a specific autoimmune disease?
No, never. Mm-hmm. He visited different doctors. Nobody could diagnose him, but he struggled with all the pains and the joint pain for many, many years. So nobody diagnosed him. But we knew he was sensitive to gluten. So a few years ago, I put him on gluten-free diet and that got rid of a lot of the joint pain.
Good.
Right.
Is he strict about it or is he one of the typical guys who likes to do it occasionally anyway?
Not at all. He's completely
okay, good.
Yes. Yeah. So he's also dairy free for many years. When the histamine issue came up, so even though his pain level really got down a lot by, you know, going on to a gluten free, dairy free diet, so we thought he was doing better, but all of a sudden the histamine thing came up. So we don't know what's going on. And then when he was having to do the SIBO test, the doctor told him to just eat the chicken and the egg the day before the test. So that day was like a grain-free day for him. So the following morning when he woke up, he said, you know, the joint, the kind of the stiffness in the hands that he used to have every day when he woke up wasn't there. And figured out, oh, maybe the grains also were the problems, not just the gluten. So he's been on a grain-free diet for the past year, and it really helped him with the joint pain, the stiffness. But the histamine thing... there has been a lot of improvement because he's been on low histamine diet. But occasionally if he happens to eat something that doesn't work for him, he would still have headaches after he eats. So I also feel like the low histamine diet, I don't want him to eat like that for the rest of his life.
Right. It's just a Band-Aid.
Exactly. So we're just trying to kind of, this is also part of the reason I signed up for the NEPT training program, just to learn more.
Yeah.
And also just to help him kind of improve so that he can actually broaden his diet and not to eat like this anymore. Mm. And his weight has always been an issue.
Yes.
The histamine thing that caused a lot of weight loss. Dramatic weight loss. So lately he has gained, I would say, about 15 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like we kind of hit the plateau. His weight just kind of stopped right now, and it's not going up anymore.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the weight right now. You're going to worry about restoring function. And a lot of times, in order to get rid of the bad wood in the house, you got to cut it down, and then you can build it back up. So that's the least of my worries right now. So I would look at this. So it looks like he did a protocol for SIBO from the doctor using rifaximin and neomycin.
Yes.
And then some supplements and a low FODMAP diet. And then the breath test, it was better the second time.
The second time was slightly better. So and it showed that the methane level was normal. So I think he was high with hydrogen.
Mm-hmm.
So the hydrogen level, the first time it was above 100. I think that's very high. And the second time it dropped to 70 something. So it's still pretty high.
Okay.
The second time. And then he stopped seeing the doctor because I don't think he understands a lot about histamine.
it's an approach. It's an allopathic approach. We think we have bacteria in a certain place. Let's kill the bacteria. Mm-hmm. As opposed to, why do we have bacteria in that certain place? Is he a stressed out kind of person, or is he more calm? Does he have a lot of work stress?
Yeah, so the past, I would say, over the past 6 years, he was under a lot of stress from his work.
Yeah.
So he stopped working.
Oh.
Starting from the beginning of last year. So he has, and then he just started working again recently. So he had a break when all of this was happening.
Well, that's good.
Yeah, before he stopped working 2 years ago, he was under a lot of stress from his work. Yeah.
Does he have any stress reduction habits like meditation, yoga, heart math, anything at all?
He does the biking. So he bikes a lot. That's his way. Or he likes to work, outside, just do the yard work and things like that. Yeah, so
I'm going to tell you something that has helped my husband tremendously.
Okay.
With the stress piece is this thing called a Muse, M-U-S-E.
Okay.
It's a little device, and my husband is obsessed now with meditating. He meditates every day, at least once a day, sometimes twice a day. Mm-hmm. And he brags about how he's on his, 312th day of meditating in a row. And it became a game with him, and it has significantly changed his health and his whole demeanor. And it's basically, they have a little thing you hook up to your head. It measures your brain waves, and it creates a game for you to get into that meditative state. It's an amazing device. I would look it up. M-U-S-E. Yeah. Christmas is coming. If you celebrate Christmas, we'd make a really nice gift.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, and he doesn't have to change much.
He doesn't, some days he only does 6 minutes because that's all he has time for. And it has the little thing you code it in. Some days he does 30 minutes and it's his schedule. And I think it would be very helpful.
Sure.
Very helpful because the gut is so, and the reason I think about that with SIBO, if it is SIBO, then there's the migrating motor complex that is a problem. And that's oftentimes because somebody's in a highly charged sympathetic state most of the time, and they're not getting into their parasympathetic nervous system. Their vagus nerve is subdued, and they need to do things to increase the activity of the vagus nerve. In the SIBO section, and there's also a video at the end of the CMDS module. Hopefully it's open to you. Because I know you joined just a couple of weeks ago, but
yeah,
should be open to you. If it's not, we'll make sure it gets open to you.
Is that module 11, by the way?
I think it's 7.
Seven? Module 7. Okay.
Yeah, I think it's 7.
Okay.
One would know for sure. It's one of the earlier ones, 5 or 6 or 7, one of those. And you get in there because there's a whole thing we talk about SIBO. Like he did the typical medical approach, which is doing the drugs to get rid of the bugs, but they didn't put him on. It doesn't look like they put him on anything that was motility, improving the motility. Didn't talk to him about sympathetic versus parasympathetic dominance. So those are a couple of things for him to work on. And yes, all the diet stuff is great and all the nutritional stuff is awesome. You have to do that. But if you do that and you don't address the underlying situation and causes, yes, gluten and dairy for a long time and causes an inflammatory response, and the fact that if you've been under stress for a long time, his digestive tract is just kind of shut down. Mm-hmm. Right? It doesn't move. There are some supplements he could take. One's called Modal Pro. There are also and things like AMLA. And those things help with the motility, spacing the meals at least 4 hours apart or more, not eating in between. And I know that's harder when he's thin and he wants to eat more to get more calories. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. But it shuts down the track and it shuts down the motility, and it causes a lot of those bacteria that are headed down south, so to speak, to this large intestine to get stuck in the small intestine.
Okay.
And we go through that in the SIBO module in there in detail.
You know, what he's been doing is, except for the three meals, he also has two smoothies, one in the morning, one in the afternoon.
Mm. So have him have those right before his meals, not hours apart. Because what happens is that migrating motor complex needs time, and it usually gets to activate it at about 3.5 hours. Mm-hmm. After the meal. And it'd be nice to have between 3.5, at least 3.5 and 4 hours to give it a half an hour to work, but it's nicer if you can go 5 hours.
Okay.
Okay, so just stock up on those other meals a little bit more.
Okay.
Before he gets there. I think that'll be good. There's also a video, which is a clip from that I did at the Shine Conference, not this past year, but the year before, which was on the gut-brain connection. And we showed the vagus nerve, and there's a bunch of vagus nerve exercises in that video, which is a good thing to watch as well. And the vagus nerve can be stimulated by choking, basically gagging. Most people don't like to gag themselves. You take a spoon, right, you put it in the back of the throat until you, or singing loudly is another one. And then coffee enemas are good for stimulating that. I mentioned that to my husband and he was like, nope, I'm not going that way. Not doing that. Okay. So, and some won't, some will, some won't, you know, Favor, who was just on, does her own coffee enemas. A lot of people do, but some people are opposed. So what did I say? The singing loudly, the gagging, and what was the third one? Gargling. That might be the easy one for him. You know, put more water in the throat and then gargle, but gargle hard and gargle till like your eyes start tearing. And that helps to stimulate the vagus nerve and help the motility to keep things moving through.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, can I ask about this Motil Pro? And I know Pure Encapsulations, I think they have this supplement.
Yep.
Called Motil Pro.
Yep.
And it seems like his stool is loose. So I wonder, you know, generally, so whatever I understand for now is if you're constipated, that probably indicates that your motility is low.
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily. There are people who are not constipated who have the slow motility. And in fact, when people do a transit time test, you know, where you take the charcoal, so look up transit time test, a lot of folks find that they're pooping every day, two or three times a day, but they're pooping 2-day-old poop.
Okay.
Right? So they're not actually getting things through them in the 24 hours, 18 to 24 hours. So a transit time test would be a good thing to do as well to help them.
Okay. So the loose stool thing seems like a problem because he's always had the loose stool and it probably improves a little bit by changing the diet, but it's always there.
Yeah.
Does that mean he doesn't absorb?
Well, you know, I would do the transit time just to see. Now, some people are not absorbing and they have a 6, 10, 12 hour transit time, which means there's no way they're going to absorb stuff that way. So I would start with a transit time test and see. And you're basically taking the charcoal and you're waiting to see when you see it in the stool.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. And the directions are all in there. But yeah, those are the kind of things I would be looking at. I also, he may have some overgrowth in his large intestine as well. And then when he takes the rifaximin and neomycin, I don't know what impact that might have had on his normal flora. So it's really important to be replenishing the good flora. So given that, I mean, doing a stool test might be good. I like the doctor's data, as I was saying earlier. The doctor's data is comprehensive with parasitology times 3.
What do you think of biohealth SUTEP?
Yeah, I like the biohealth. It has the H. pylori. So usually I like to do both. I like to do the biohealth H. pylori with the doctor's data comprehensive. So the thing about the doctor's data, biohealth, it doesn't give you sensitivity. So after, if they find something, it doesn't tell you what particular herbals are going to get rid of it and what are resistant. So that's why I like the doctor's data. The biohealth also doesn't give you a lot of the things like inflammatory markers. Does he have any inflammatory markers in the colon? Because it sounds like he's had IBS for a long time. Is it specifically IBS with the loose, or does he alternate sometimes?
There's no alternation.
It's just loose.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And there might be other foods that he's sensitive to as well. So it may be more than just the gluten and the dairy. You might want to look at, you don't even have to do the test if he's willing to eliminate some things. The Cyrex Labs array 4 is for cross-reactives to gluten. And for some people, they don't want to spend the $250 to do the test. That's fine. I just give them that list. And that list is also in one of the modules in the program. I don't remember which.
The cross-reactivity
foods. Cross-reactivity foods. But you can look them up in the Cyrex.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's, in addition to all the other grains like quinoa and rice and that sort of stuff, there's sesame seeds. I have one person who eats hemp seeds. Hemp seeds showed up for her.
Oh, he doesn't eat any of that. He does. He's totally grain free.
Hemp seeds. Oh, so he doesn't eat seeds either.
No nuts. Yeah. Oh, no nuts. He's being always sensitive to nuts. So his diet is so restricted. That's why
he has to repair. He's probably got leaky gut that needs to be repaired. So what I would do if I were you is to, I would go through the CMDS module, the digestive module, step by step, and just see what applies to him and try to clear it top down. And when I say top down, I mean literally top, because the head is the beginning of the digestive tract, and that's where the stress responds. That's why I recommended the Muse. And the vagus nerve stimulation to keep things moving. But I would say healing his leaky gut is a big thing, and he's probably has it because he has gluten intolerance and he was on gluten for all these years. Mm-hmm. So he's got to do a rigorous leaky gut repair.
Yeah. Now, as far as for probiotics, now is that because, you know, we always say, oh, we want to kind of, you know, use that and the fermented foods and all of that.
Right. If he has the SIBO, you have to be careful about the ones that produce lactic acid. So you want to get a D-lactic acid-free one. You can look.
Now, is there a particular brand? Yeah.
Custom Probiotics has a good one. It comes in a powder, so you can really just increase gradually the dose to their tolerance, especially with somebody who has loose stools. You don't want to just suddenly give them a 50 or 100 billion organisms and have them poop it all away.
Okay.
Okay.
What about that Saccharomyces boulardii, that yeast? Is that going to be a friendly thing for him?
Well, you know, I've seen a lot of folks take that, and it can be good, but I've seen people with overgrowth of it. And in an overgrowth situation, I'm a little concerned, since he already has had the SIBO, of doing any more of that.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, unless you do a stool test and it shows that he's okay.
I think the next step is to do a stool test.
Yeah.
That's what you recommended. Yeah. So we'll definitely get that done and see.
Yeah. It looks like you already did a Helicobacter. I don't see. I'm opening that. Looks like
He did the stool test ordered by the GI doctor. And, but they only tested for H. pylori and, you know, some parasites.
Yeah. And this was, did it through their typical lab, right? I hate to sound, you know, what's the word, exclusive or whatnot, but a lot of those labs just don't have the right setup to do the kind of stuff that the more alternative labs do. They do a much more comprehensive look, and some places miss a lot of stuff. So that showed up negative. His ova and parasites showed up negative as well. Celiac disease panel. Did that show up? Celiac show up positive or negative? Let's see.
Negative.
Yeah. So that's not a good sign either, right? Because it's a small percentage of the population that has it. So he has non-celiac gluten sensitivity, right?
Yeah.
And as long as he's willing to do it, then you don't need to do any further testing. if you have a patient or client who is saying, well, look, my celiac test is normal, I don't have to stop gluten, then you expose them to, well, there's other tests, let's have you do the Cyrex Array 3. And Cyrex Array 3 tells you all the different levels of antibodies that they could have, or the EnteroLab stool test for gluten. Because a lot of them, you know, celiac test coming up normal doesn't mean anything. It just means that his gut is not completely ripped apart and he's not making transglutaminase yet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's gluten-free for the rest of his life.
Good.
He doesn't have any issues with that.
Good.
But if you look at this report, I remember one of the IgA antibody level was really high.
Let's see.
I don't know if it shows here. Yeah, something's the IgA, something about the IgA that's really high.
All right, let's see. So they basically did the gliadin, which is the most common one, but there's a lot of others, and it's often missed. So negative, it says the IgG was 3, negative, IgG 4, 8 on the IgG, negative, transglutaminase, IgA, a negative ELISA.
Maybe it's not on this report.
Yeah.
It's probably a blood test or something.
Let's see. For GI, I don't see that here. I see you have his endoscopies, and we don't need to look at those at this point. Are there pictures? Let's see. Maybe everybody would be interested in seeing them if they're really cool pictures. Sometimes they give you nice photos.
Oh, we didn't get to see the pictures. Yeah, so everything's normal.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's good. You've done due diligence by ruling out that he has pathology, and now it's really restoring function. And, it's finding what that is. I would say, start with the gut, start with the head, start with the transit time, looking at the leaky gut repair. If you wanted to do more testing, then I would say the stool test would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like they did this Helicobacter was negative, and that was a stool. So I think I would go straight to the doctor's data, comprehensive mm-hmm. plus parasitology times 3. Even though he had the parasites tested, I'd still have them done again.
Right, right. So is there any DNA test that can help with understanding this whole histamine issue?
In terms of his DNA, like his
mm-hmm.
I would do a 23andMe, and then we can run it through the reports. There's a lot of GI indicators, and we have a list of those inside the digestive module. There's a chart which lists those. And in fact, a couple of weeks ago, I think you were already on. Yes, you were. In our newsletter, our NEPT newsletter, I had a link to what I called the cheat sheets, which were, I said to everybody, print them out and keep them handy, because when you're looking at people's genetics, it has a list of all the GI related ones and the blood sugar related ones. And he probably has some of those indicators, so his gut is going to be more sensitive. And there are some indicators for histamine definitely on there. So if you wanted to see if there was a genetic component.
Yeah, he has submitted the 23andMe.
Perfect.
Sample, so we'll see what mm-hmm. comes out.
Mm-hmm. Wonderful. Thank you. Thanks for submitting this.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
That's very helpful. Yeah.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so let's see who's next. And you could just mute yourself if you can. Lori. Okay, we'll go to Lori and then Claudia. All right, so Lori is here. Let me bring it down. All right. I should close some of these others, or I'm going to have too many windows open. What is this? Oh, what is this? It's a, oh, wow. Okay, good. I'll shrink this a little bit. So this is Lori's, that's not what I was looking for. Okay, entry. Let me look at her here. Okay, let's look there. All right, let's start there. Hi, Lori. Are you on the phone or... Let's see. Lori, if you're on the phone on Instant Tele Seminar, raise your hand with a star 2 and I'll open you up. Nope. And if you're on Zoom, is Lori not on Zoom? Let's see. Do we see Lori on Zoom? I don't see Lori, but I do see Claudia. So we're going to go to Claudia first. Oh, no, you're on there, Lori. Unmute. Hi, Lori. Lori? Say hello, Lori. I unmuted
you. Hello. Hello.
Hi, there you are.
Hello.
Good. I'm glad we got you here. All right.
Welcome to frigid Michigan.
Eek. I'm glad I'm not there. I'm frigid here because it was 58 degrees today.
Oh, my. Oh, dear.
I'm all bundled up in my jacket drinking tea all day long. All right. Yeah. Anyway, so so it's a male client, 6'1", 168 pounds.
My husband.
Your husband. Yeah. It's lovely when our husbands get to be the patients, because then if I ask you questions that you might not know about a patient or client, you probably do know about your husband. So that's good. So his complaints are high blood glucose readings. And an annoying rash that worsens in winter. He's had testicular strangulation. Yeah, that doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
His mother's a type 1. He's always had slow digestion. Feels full a lot, even on an empty stomach. Lots of pressure in the gut area. He has to push to have a bowel movement even when it's loose. Okay. Interventions today. Gluten-free and sugar-free for many years. Great. That's awesome. And he's pretty 100% about it?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Moderate to high good fats, olive, coconut, MCT, lots of spices. That sounds good. Supplements, berberine, niacin. Okay. Current care, types of practitioner.
yeah.
You can't get there fast enough to finish.
I know.
Okay. Okay. So you did check his fasting insulin?
Yes.
Okay, good.
That's in the report. Yeah.
All right. I'll look at that in a moment. Let me just see. Wow. He commutes to work. So you got a pretty dedicated husband here.
Yes.
So you say he doesn't eat sugar, but does he eat other kinds of sugars like sweeteners and?
No, none.
Mm-mm. None at all. Okay.
Very little fruit.
Okay. Ugh, so you got a lot of stress in your life. I'm sorry about your son. Holy cow.
He's doing well. Thank you.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
Mother passed away in June, so he's got a lot of stress. So whatever I said, ditto on what I said to Jenny, you know, about getting him some tools. And like I said, this thing has been awesome for my husband, who I've been trying to get to, you know, get out of the stress mode for years, and it's really working. So it's worth looking into the Muse.
Yep, I wrote that down.
Yeah, I figured you would. So he takes magnesium, vitamin C, D, and added zinc. Okay, so yeah, so he doesn't eat fried food or any of the really yucky
stuff. No.
He does eat dairy, though.
Yes,
dairy.
Quite a bit.
Cross-reactive, and he does quite a bit. Okay. Is he open to getting rid of it and to go?
Yes, for sure.
Okay. So, you know, the starting point would be to start him on an elimination, like our, you know, get rid of the top six, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, eggs, and peanuts. And then he can test things back. He doesn't do soy, corn, or peanuts. So it's just two foods really that he has to get rid of.
The dairy and the eggs?
Yeah. Dairy and the eggs.
Okay.
You know, and just do an eliminate, tell him it's an elimination diet. We're going to see if you're improving. And, you know, you can always test them back later.
Mm-hmm.
He drinks beer. Now, is it gluten-free beer?
No.
Okay, so he's not gluten-free.
Ah, you're right.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay, so there's another shift that he can be making is to, you know, and during an elimination diet, I'd get rid of the coffee and the beer too. So okay. You just have him go on a really clean diet, your own bone broth, grass-fed organic sources. So the things that you would do on this elimination, I do it after the holidays. Don't do it now. It's not a good time to do it. But, you know, once the new year starts, say, look, this is what we're going to do. Explain it to him in advance. We're going to put you on an elimination diet. We're going to get rid of the gluten and the dairy and the beer and the coffee. We're going to do it for 4 weeks. We're going to see how you do, and then we're going to do some other things. So let's see what else we can have him do too. But that alone can make a huge difference.
Okay.
Especially if he's got a sensitivity to gluten, he has cross-reactivity. he's exercising, so that's good. He's getting outside only twice a week. So I thought you said he rides his bike to work.
Well, I mean, that outdoor time to me was like where he's just like in nature or.
No. Outdoor, okay. Right?
Most every people, day.
He's yeah, outside. They work indoors. They go to the gym. They work out indoors. No, he's going out every day. So
yes, he is. Okay. Yeah,
so that's good. And time in the sun is whenever it's sunny up and cold.
Right. It's not much. Especially this,
time, this time of year. So the relaxation, what does he do for relaxation? Does he meditate? Does he actually meditate?
He doesn't. You know, he does a lot of Bible reading, but not much meditation where he's actually.
Well, he might actually enjoy the muse. I mean, I thought for my husband it was great because it became this like competitive game, right? I'm going to do it again. I'm going to get my score better. I'm going to, you know, he's like, and he's so calm. He's so much different now.
It's well, that's wonderful. It's wonderful.
I can't say enough about that thing. I want to buy stock in that company. Eating vegetables 5 or more times a week, alcohol. We already talked about the coffee and the coffee he does daily.
Yes.
And is it decaf or is it?
Nope, it's regular.
Yeah, so it's very acidifying to the system, right? And it thins coffee, alcohol and caffeine or coffee can actually, the tannins and all, can thin the mucosa in the gut. So the more you learn about it, the more you can and explain about it. That's why I go into such grueling detail about how these things work, because you never know when the one phrase that you use with someone triggers like, oh, I don't want that, and they stop it. So he doesn't do the any do filtered water. He doesn't do fast food. So he's overall, he's a really healthy guy.
Yeah, except for these darn sugars.
Darn sugars. So let's look at the numbers because, you know, with the diet that he's following, you know, it could be the dairy because dairy will affect it. But let me look at these numbers, okay? So I'm going to have to share a different screen in order for this to work. Lynn put it into the spreadsheet for you, which we don't supply in CMDS because it's not really part of the program, but in NEPT we have it because we teach the comprehensive blood analysis.
So, okay.
And this is what I've put together to do. So let me do a share.
This is just the latest blood work. Some of them are kind of odd.
Okay.
You know, they're not none of the things that you've been looking at.
Oh, well.
Stool tests and all those types of things. This is
This is your standard blood test. But his fasting glucose is 125. Has he ever been put on like metformin or any kind of oral diabetic?
No.
Okay. And has it been this high for a while?
The last year, from what we can tell. We don't know before that.
Before that, you didn't test.
It was never tested, right?
Okay. And the reason I love my spreadsheet is I can just glance down. I don't have to look at the things. I can go, everything's green. It's in the perfect range. Everything in yellow is outside the perfect range. It's in it, but it's still in what the lab considers, but his protein's low. So there is some malabsorption going on there. A globulin and AG. So yeah, his proteins are low. His zinc is low probably with this alkaline phosphatase. And with zinc low and the protein low, I'm suspicious about his stomach acid.
Okay, where are you looking? Can I get you to that?
On the screen?
No.
Oh,
I have to test it.
Wait a minute. Let me do this again. Resume here. There we go.
Oh, there. Okay.
All right, good. Yeah, so this is everything here in the green or in the ideal ranges. So I'm just going to skip through those. But the yellow, the things he has yellow are protein low, and globulin low. And those are related to proteins. Those are proteins. And then the alkaline phosphatase low is related to zinc usually.
Oh, okay.
So those three things combined, or those two things combined, low protein and low zinc, suggest to me, maybe he has low stomach acid and he's not able to do this properly. His liver enzymes are a little high. So there is some liver stress, which is all the more ammunition to get him off the alcohol.
Okay.
Okay, because those liver enzymes are high. Where's GGT? They didn't do GGT. This one's actually more specific. This one here called GGT is actually more specific for alcohol stress on the liver. But I would definitely, anybody with high liver enzymes like that, I'd also look at some herbs he can take. He can either get a tincture or sprinkle on his salad is milk thistle.
Okay.
Yep. Milk thistle seeds and start increasing that because that'll help bring these down. But that doesn't solve the problem of what's stressing his liver. So we want to get at what's stressing his liver. Cholesterol is very high. Triglycerides are okay, probably because of the way he's eating, which is good.
They said that ratio was really good, even though his cholesterol is high.
The ratio is really good, but the cholesterol's high. But the low LDLs are very, very, very high. So the ratio, the cholesterol HDL ratio is not high, not good. Because look at how high those LDLs are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I don't want those LDLs above 100.
Okay.
Now, if they have like a 97 on HDLs and their total, I don't mind it. But I just don't like to see LDLs higher than 100. It's this ratio that's really good, actually. It's the triglyceride HDL.
Yes. Yeah.
That's excellent, which is not an indicator of insulin resistance. So that's kind of puzzling at this point. He has 120 glucose. So let's see what else we have. Thyroid numbers look okay. Free T3 is low. And his free T4 is good. So that's suggestive of a conversion issue. And oftentimes that the T4 doesn't get converted well to T3 if there is some inflammation and if there is some other thing going on, like, let's see, inflammation, selenium deficiency, zinc deficiency, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So again, we're looking at, another mineral that might be deficient. And selenium is really hard to get anyway because our soils are depleted. So and an inflammatory condition will definitely cause that to go up. So let's just see. I'm just kind of doing off the top of my head.
You did have some antibodies. I didn't see that where you would just flip through. First thyroid.
All right. Give me a second. I just missed it too fast. Okay. There we go. And this was put in the female section. No wonder it's off. I'm just fixing the chart. Okay. No, I don't see any antibodies. They didn't get put in.
It says thyroid peroxidase antibodies is 10.
Oh, okay. That didn't get put in. Okay.
And the chart shows less than 9. Should be less than 9.
Yeah, he's definitely high there. And the thyroglobulin, did he do that one?
Yes, that's less than 1.
Okay, fine. I'm just going to put 0, says yellow, someone doesn't see. All right, but he does have a little bit of autoimmune activity going on, which I would like it to be. So there's some inflammation, and that could be affecting T4 to T3 conversion as well. And with antibodies like that, so let's go back to selenium, because I think selenium would be a good approach for him to help that conversion, but also lots of studies show that it helps bring those antibodies down.
Okay.
Okay, so that's another thing to look at. Blood cells are fine. His red blood cells are a little bit higher than the range, but oftentimes that's because you want to rule out hemochromatosis or thrombocytopenia. My words are not mincing right now, but he's got high hemoglobin also. So let's... You know, we're having suspicions that there may be some dehydration going on when all these numbers are a little higher, hematocrit's a little high, but we also don't want to rule out and have to look at and retest this again, 6 weeks to 3 months to make sure that those numbers aren't, make sure he's hydrated when he has this test, because dehydration can cause these to be high and they're very marginally high, but it can also be like and he has liver enzymes high, so I want to make sure it's not a hemochromatosis or something along those lines. So MCV is good, MCH is good. Yeah, but there's some. Now, I didn't see iron up here. Let me
go back. Yeah, we did check iron.
What was the iron? There it is. Nope, it's not in here.
Let's see. That's ferritin, right?
Well, ferritin is a storage form of iron. So tell me what that is.
That's what we checked. Darn it.
Okay, it might be in here just further down. Let me go further. This number here, when the RDW is high, it suggests that there's a large variation in the size of the red blood cells. So they should be fairly consistent. The MCV measures how big they are. He's in a good range. If it's small, it's usually an iron deficiency anemia. If it's too large, it's a B12 or folate deficiency. This is fine. However, this number makes me think there's some sort of something going on with the blood cells, because that's high.
And that's RDW?
RDW. So there's some kind of anemia going on. I'm just not sure what yet. There's definitely an allergic type reaction happening here with the eosinophils at 6.7. That's more than double what they should be in an ideal range, but it's even higher than the lab range. And that's indication that there's some, usually that's an allergy. If it's combined with high basophils, it could be parasite, but usually with just the eosinophils high, there's some sort of allergy going on.
That could be this eczema or whatever's all over his skin, huh?
Absolutely, yeah. And if he's still on the dairy and I would get off the dairy and see what happens there. And really go through and do a leaky gut repair on him. So hemoglobin A1C is 6.6, like that's way high. You know, just way, way higher than I'd like it to be. That's right. His average is way up high in the 130s. But did you say you got the fasting insulin or that?
Yes, it was 3.1. Which really threw out, we thought for sure it'd be really low.
Or high, or really high.
Or, because he doesn't have any, yeah. He doesn't have any fat, no fat storage.
Yeah.
Ugh. He's like 7% body fat.
Yeah, so the issue is what's going on here?
Right.
I would run, there's two things. You can do a postprandial insulin if you can do it, like have him eat the highest possible carb. Well, he is eating carbs. He's eating a big carb. He's drinking beer.
Yeah, but that's only once a week, maybe.
Doesn't matter. Somebody has said
that. Okay.
That's the only carb I would have. So what I would do is do the insulin after he has a couple of beers. So have him have the highest carbohydrate meal that he'll ever have. I mean, does he eat sweet potatoes? Does he eat any potatoes?
We eat sweet potatoes.
Yeah, okay. So I would have the highest carb meal, like, you know, red bell peppers and greens and sweet potatoes, and have a beer with it. That's probably the highest carb meal a guy ever eats, right?
For sure.
Okay, so you have him eat that meal, and then you measure his glucose and his glucose you can do at home, but his insulin, you could either go to the lab within 45 minutes of eating that meal and have it tested. Or since the labs usually close at night and he probably works during the day and he doesn't want to have a beer in the middle of the day at work, you can maybe have a day off, or you can order from ZRT Labs. They have an insulin kit.
Yes, I just heard you talk about that with Dr. Kabeca today.
Yep. There you go. Yep. Yep. So you can get one of those and have him have the highest carb meal he's going to ever have. And then you measure it after that and see. Now, if it's still in a good range, like it's still like 3 or 5 or something like that, I'm suspicious of autoantibodies. Okay. Then I would be having you go and get anti-pancreatic enzyme, islet cell antibodies and anti-insulin antibodies to see.
Okay.
So there's a bunch of tests for that we can share. I can share with you what they are. But just let's see what it is first.
Okay.
Expensive tests, and insulin is cheap. So I always like to see what the non-fasting is. But if it's not going up, then that's a problem.
Okay.
Okay. But if it is like 60, then that's a problem.
Yeah.
He's overproducing insulin, right? So we don't know. With the 3.1, we don't know. If he had a 1 as fasting, I'd say, I'm suspicious, especially given that mom has the type 1. Now, type 1 diabetics, the studies show, just go look it up, type 1 diabetes and dairy problems, dairy sensitivity.
Okay,
so he's clearly got some kind of sensitivity, whether it's food or environmental, we don't know, but his body's reacting. He's got weird blood sugar compared to what he should given what he eats. The other thing I would do is get him a blood sugar meter.
He has one. He checks it 3, 4, 5 times a day.
Yeah, but he's got to check it in the right way.
Okay.
He's got to check it before the meal.
Yes.
Got to check it maybe within 15 minutes and every 15 minutes for an hour and a half.
Okay.
And he can do that for a couple of days or do that, you know, on sporadic meals, like, you know, mostly the higher carbohydrate meals. But you're going to find out what things shoot it up. Okay. And the other thing I would say is his fasting glucose, is that truly his lowest glucose level? If he's testing 4 times a day, does it go up from there? Because some people that they actually have a higher number in the morning than they have later in the day.
He is higher in the morning.
He's higher in the morning.
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Okay. Yeah. So does it go down before breakfast? Does it go down before lunch? So I just do a pattern. If you can get him to, you know, do it on a Saturday, Sunday when he's not working, and just do it just all day long, just test his glucose. His finger will hurt, big deal. It's not a big deal. And I've done it myself. I sometimes test myself, you know, 50 or 100 times within a 2-hour period, because right now I'm testing meters to see which ones are the most accurate.
Okay.
Okay, so that's what I would do. He already has a meter. He already knows how to do it, but have him do it in the right way.
Okay, so as soon as he gets up, then within 15 minutes after he eats?
Well, then before each meal. Before each meal.
Okay.
And then after each meal.
Okay.
Every 15 minutes starting after he eats the meal.
Okay, every 15 minutes for 2 hours?
For 2 hours. And if he's, or, you know, an hour and a half to two. What you really want to looking for is when he peaks and then it's coming down.
Okay.
Right. And you just want to see him when it's coming down. You want to kind of complete the cycle of when it gets back to the baseline. And if that's at an hour and a half, that's fine. If it's at 2 hours, that's fine. But you want to see.
The baseline's never lower than like 119.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Whatever that is at the start of the meal, you want him back to 119. You want to.
Okay.
Testing every 15 minutes till he gets there. Gotcha. And then you want to look at the time he typically has his peak. And that's the time when you want to be testing his insulin.
Okay.
Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But, you know, definitely with people, like whenever somebody has thyroid issues, I'm always got to get off the gluten because there's so much evidence of the connection with the diabetes. Blood sugar problems, always got to get off of the dairy, at least for a trial, because it can make a huge difference.
Okay.
Okay.
I did find his ferritin was 76.
76.
That was good.
I know it's good. It could be a little, it's a little on the higher side.
Okay.
Right? It's not bad and it's not good. We don't know. Because he has the high red blood cells and he has the high hemoglobin. So it's a slightly higher number. Then, you know, and it just could be that he has a lot of iron and it's, those numbers aren't alarming or anything. They're just something we want to watch. And I would have him redo it, but make sure that before he has the test done again, that he's drinking half his body weight in fluid ounces for at least 3 days before.
Okay. And the last thing was his vitamin D was 23. So
that's huge too. So you're not going to heal any of this without getting his vitamin D up.
Yeah.
Okay. And with vitamin D, the biggest mistakes people make, even very skilled practitioners, is they test their vitamin D. They put somebody on some dose that they pull out of the air. And then they say, okay, take that for 3 months. And they don't retest. So if it's 23, I would put them on a dose, probably 10,000. Mm-hmm. I'd do that for 2 months and then retest. If he's just gone up a little bit, then you know that 10,000 wasn't enough. You're going to up it. If he's gone up and he's in the 75 range, keep him at the 10,000 for another 6 weeks to 2 months. Test him again. If it's like going too high, then you drop it down. You're going to find his ideal dose. And it probably takes every 3 months for a year to be able to get somebody's ideal dose of vitamin D.
Okay.
Okay. And it's super critical with the antibodies, autoimmune, with healing leaky gut, et cetera. So I've got one more case to look at, and I don't mean to cut you off or anything, but I think...
No, that's fine. I understand.
Go on.
I appreciate everything.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no worries. I'm going to go to... And then anybody, you know, if you have more that we don't get to cover everything, we'll definitely revisit these on the next call. And I have a radio show that I have to be interviewed on in 8 minutes. Yeah. So let's see. Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to switch my screen share. Let's see. Square. I'm going to new share. I'm going to go back to this one. And all right. So you should be seeing Claudia. Claudia, can we open your line? I saw you here earlier, Claudia. There you are. Oh, I can't unmute you. You're on your phone, so I think you have to unmute yourself. Well, Claudia, let me see if you're on Instant Teleseminar. I don't see you on there, so let's see. Claudia, if you're on the phone, raise your hand, *2. There you are. I think that's you. Is that you, Claudia? Whoops. Claudia?
Yes.
Is that you?
Yes, it's me.
Okay, good. All right. So let's go back and get your screen. And if you can close yourself, Lori. There we go. I'll mute you. There we go. There we go. All right. So All right. So Claudia, this is a female 5'10", 130 pound mother of seven. Holy cow. Is this you or somebody else?
No, this is not me. No.
Not you. Woohoo. So she's thin, 5'10", 130 pounds. She's quite thin.
Right.
And she's got some digestive issues, hormone related problems. Do you mean female hormone related? She's obviously not infertile.
Right. So, no, she's not infertile. No, it's just with her period, she kind of gets anxious, weepy, and
okay. So PMS type stuff.
Yeah, PMS type stuff more. But she did have at some point this kind of, what do they call it? I have to look because I can't look. I don't see it. She had this kind of dermoid tumor at some point.
Desmoid tumor? Removed. Dermoid tumor was moved from her right ovary. Yeah. Oh, okay. Dermoid, yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, it was big. It was huge.
Oh, my goodness. Wow, that's scary. She had an IUD that traveled?
She said that they inserted it too early after, you know, too soon after she had given birth. And then, you know, everything had not gone back to normal. And when it did, the IUD was not in place anymore.
And then she got pregnant
at that time.
Horrible.
Had to get, you know, because of the IUD traveling, she got pregnant and she had to have the BNC. It was very traumatic.
Very traumatic, I bet. Okay. Yeah. So her digestive issues, look, we're not going to have time to get very far through this. Why don't you give me a summary of how I can best help you in 5 minutes, and then we'll get back to this in on the next call.
I think for her, bloating was one of her main concerns. She couldn't really figure out why she was, was bloating.
Tell me some of her diet things. Is she off of dairy, gluten? Is she off all the allergens?
She's pretty strict about her diet, but she does eat out 3 times a week. So, then it's not going to be grass-fed and pasture-raised and non-farm-raised items. And then it's going to be all the GMO foods, but there's no junk food involved at all.
But does she eat any gluten or dairy?
No, she doesn't.
Or sugar?
But she does get some gluten, you know, when you eat regular meat and they feed them all the grains, you do get some agitation, no?
Yeah, you can. So, you know, I would start with her. I'm given that I'm going back here. She has breast augmentation. Are they silicone or water?
Yeah.
They are. Okay, that's huge, huge, huge impact on the body.
No, they're not silicone. They're saline, I'm sorry.
Oh, saline, okay.
Saline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, even that is definitely a problem, but it's more problem to take them out than to put back in. With the silicone, it may not be that. She was on the pill for a long time. Have you looked at probiotics, put her on probiotics?
I'm not treating her. I'm just presenting it. She does take probiotics. She's being treated by a kinesiologist, and he's a big fan of testing always for the probiotics, okay. Not testing at all.
All right. I'm just going to open up real quick this. That's her blood test. Yeah. Oh, she did that too. Yeah, I'm not going to be able to go through these. I'm just going to take a quick glance to see if there's anything real obvious. Oh, she's a mess. There's a lot of things out of balance here. Glucose is okay. Proteins, high. Globulins, high. Alkaline phosphatase. I would look at zinc, and zinc's going to affect. I would look at her stomach acid, zinc. I would be looking at, let's see, her thyroid. Her thyroid is probably off. They don't give me enough numbers, but her 0.9 on free T4 is very low. That might affect her gut. She's got a lot of problems in her blood chemistry here. She's anemic, very anemic. All right, so she's very anemic. I would start from a digestive standpoint. I would be starting at the top and looking at her stomach acid and looking at soothing that and looking at all the different diet things that we've presented and try to get her to clean that up. But there's definitely some anemia, big anemia problems here. and anemia problems would, you know, that would suggest possibly that she's just not getting enough. She's not getting enough iron. She's not absorbing enough iron, but she's definitely low. I could tell by looking at these numbers. Okay. Her ferret. Oh yeah. She's anemic. She's iron deficient anemia. So you want to get starting point, get her on some vitamin D, and get her on some, like a good whole food based iron, kind of like raw iron from Vitamin Code, which is good. It's a well-rounded one. And that's where I would start and look at her stomach acid and look at the exposures, because if she's still exposed to allergens, it could be irritating her gut. And I would put her on an elimination diet for, you know, just start with that elimination diet. But I do have to go, guys, because I have an interview and I have to call in right now. And we can revisit this on our call in January. But in the meantime, talk to her about doing some of these things, okay?
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye-bye, everybody. Gotta run.
Bye-bye.